Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mark Lawrence here. We have across from me Ben Reichle, local business person, Republican committee person. Were you one of those conferees at the Republican confab?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, you wasn't.
But
okay.
I did turn in my petitions last night.
So. Oh, did you? To be a committee person again?
For the other folks that are running.
Oh, you're helping circulate petitions. Good for you. Okay. Good so GOP good friendship there.
See? Yeah.
All right. Well, fantastic.
Okay. People help others.
Okay.
That's a new GOP slogan.
Is it?
I'm getting texts.
I never heard
I'm
that
traveling.
One.
I'm getting texts that you guys are beating up on the GOP, and GOP has no future, and holy smokes.
Who said that?
We'll say that. That's what the folks are texting me on the show.
GOP has no future.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll visit that in 40 minutes from now.
Yeah.
I never heard that sentence before
in my life.
It was
from some of your listeners that I get some emails and.
I got you. Well, the Democrats are fighting.
Yeah.
And Jeff Wheeland is sleeping on the couch. But other than that, everything
else. Jeff Wheeland's wheeling.
Something or other. Okay. But that is Ben Reichle across from me, astute political observer. So we'll get his good conservative views here shortly. But he's an American first. So we appreciate that. Long before he's a Republican, he's an American.
I got to ask you, is this a gift somebody gave Joe?
Joe and I asked if there was still such a thing as blackjack in today's day of political correctness. Is there still licorice gum out there? And the answer was yes.
It came
from the ACLU, and they sent you a fan, too, that has an American flag on one side and ACLU on the other.
The ACLU, that stands for what, American Civil Liberal Group?
Well, they stand up for your constitution, too.
At times.
Right. Okay.
But let me ask you this. So is the... The blackjack is 21 now, the name. You can't play blackjack at the casinos. You have to play 21.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. I don't go to casinos, so.
Is the T-Berry gun coming next week?
They could shut them down, and I wouldn't even know it. So, all right, well, welcome on board, everybody. Ben Reichle is here. We got some good Chamber of Commerce guests here. Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, president and CEO, astute hunter, angler, pencil drawer, newspaper columnist, and probably a super husband. Bob Garrett is here. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good guy all around, although I think Sue and I are worried we might have walked into more than just a debate this morning, but we'll do our best to moderate the discussion.
The politics.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I just listened to what Ben says. He's very informed, so it's always sound advice to just stay tuned. All right, and Sue Green is chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, director of the Penn State Executive Programs in the Smeal College of Business at Penn State. Welcome aboard, Sue. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I always appreciate you coming in. This is we get good insights, and this is the right panel for you to be on. Well, let's not start with the jobless numbers. Let's start with the labor participation rate, 63.2%. So I'm going to announce that we have stopped bouncing along the bottom. This is bigger than a little spike. And so this has started to head in the right direction.
Starting to go the right way. We were expecting that folks were going to begin to re-enter the labor force, folks that have been on the sideline for one reason or the other. We thought we're going to be coming back in, and it's taken a couple of years for the message to get across, but we're definitely not bouncing along the bottom anymore. We're starting to get up closer to where we'd like to see it, but we still have lots of room for improvement.
And what do people have to do to make the labor participation rate go up?
Engage. Basically, they have to just either be looking for a job or are in the labor force. They just have to be sort of put their hand up and say, over here, coach, put me in. So these are the folks that for whatever reason, they were on the couch or not in the labor force, maybe took an early retirement, maybe just didn't feel like they had the right set of skills for the jobs that exist. There could be 1,000 different reasons with 1,000 different people, but these are the folks that are now jumping back into the labor force. We were told that the labor participation rate was so low because of the baby boomers retiring at whatever the number is, several thousand per day. I didn't buy it. I still don't buy it, and I'm glad to see that participation rate is going up.
Well, you see this in some of the companies you're working on. These companies know that there are smart men and women who aren't entering the workforce that are at home or taking care of the family or taking care of the parents. They're just not in the labor force.
Well, it's interesting. I just read something that 64%, this was in Forbes this week, of employees that are employed are unengaged. And so the trick will be, if we have them working, is to keep them working and then trying to enhance them back if we've lost them. So, well, that is kind of what we do from executive programs. We try to find solutions to keep people at work. And training is one of them.
Define the engagement statistic. Tell me what that entails.
Well, I think what it means is, are they on their phones? Are they doing social media? You know, are they just showing up and not really contributing in a meaningful way? Are they just putting their time in?
Are they really connected? Okay. Yeah. Ben, reaction? Right now we're on the participation rate. We're going to do the jobless numbers in a moment.
The participation rate is moving. I think Bob and Sue, you know, made the point where, you know, get engaged. And then if you are working, are you engaged? You know, if you're an employee and an employer, you have two different thoughts sometimes. However, there is a little bit of mood out there that some people feel that if they show up for work, that's work. The employer says, hold it. Are you adding value to the operation here? Are you adding value to your team, your group, your service you're providing to customers? So, you know, very positive. I think the numbers, you know, these economic numbers, I really think you have to look at them over a quarter.
Right.
Probably minimum at a quarter or maybe a half a year when you want to look at growth numbers, when you want to look at the participation rate. But now if you look at the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 months of participation, we've been moving the right direction.
Now let me, this will be the last question about engagement, but in today's day and age where joblessness is very low and there are help wanted signs everywhere, is that a disincentive for engagement? I may say, well, I'm not going to put in a full day here or, you know, stay off my phone or, you know, just stay, keep my nose to the grindstone all day long. If they don't like it, I'll just go get a job somewhere else.
Yeah, I think what the chamber finds when we do our surveys is our employers talk to us about the culture of work and that the chamber needs to be in the secondary schools, in the vocational schools, talking to students, talking to folks that are getting their training or retraining about what's, you know, you need to have a sharp pencil, you need to measure twice, cut once, those kind of things. So there's definitely a culture to work. There's definitely a culture to engaging. What the participation rate is showing us is that month over month now, we've had now for 4 or 5 months in a row, there's more people going into the labor force than leaving the labor force. And that's what we were hoping to see, was to see that number turn around, because the number one fuel for our economy is willing and qualified, skilled laborers. And they're coming into the labor force. We can see it by the numbers.
Ben, I'll just go someplace else. I don't have to engage here.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, you look at, I think Moody's did an analytics from Moody's, a business publication, and they talk about the tech hotbeds, energy hubs, and college towns are the strongest U.S. job markets. Well, we're somewhat rural Pennsylvania, but we do have college towns, so we are, you know, it's good to have that energy, and you hope that energy spurs economic growth, and we're seeing in our region that it does. Where we see up in State College, where you see some of the research and development that the Penn State brings in, it makes the supplemental economy move very well.
All right, well, let's move on to joblessness itself. I go around the table. I always start with Ben. 3.8% jobless rate, so that's a down, even though just 20,000 jobs created, which is clearly a wrong number. There's no way that that's even true.
Well, probably maybe the people doing the stats were part of the government shutdown, so they shut down.
Well, okay, so
half
they're lagging.
February. So it must be an anomaly. But again, look at these over a quarter, over a half a year, and you see where they're at, and you see the adjustments. So in March, when we're sitting here, or in April, we're sitting here, we're looking back and say, okay, remember those March numbers that showed February being down? How did they readjust those? We'll see if there's an adjustment. I think the numbers, like I said, you look at the numbers, but where we see the economy right now is a solid foundation. Things are moving. Some sectors are moving faster than others, but most sectors are moving forward, and we see that, again, in the participation rate.
All right. So reaction to the jobless numbers themselves, please.
Yeah, I'll just underscore, I think, Ben used the word anomaly. There's clearly some sort of an anomaly here with the 20,000. That's less than 10%, about 8% of what last month was. Things aren't that radical. Now, we know that Ben mentioned about the sectors. We know that the retail sector is very soft, largely because there's so much competition from the internet with the bricks and mortar type stores, et cetera. We know that that's out there, but clearly there's something wrong with the numbers, because on the other side, the unemployment rate, the national unemployment rate of 3.8%, almost unheard of in the history of our nation to have an unemployment rate that low. The other piece we haven't gotten to yet is what I consider to be the big headline of this report. Is the wage rate increase that went up 3.4%? Last month was 3.2%. So wages are now starting to move. We expected this to happen as the labor market constricted, as it got tighter. We expected wages to go up. Is this slightly inflationary? Possibly, but 3.4%, that's manageable. That's regular. That's basic growth. It's good to see wage rates going up, because that's money in your pocket. That's the dollar bills that you can spend on your family, on other things that you might not have had if the wage rates were going the other direction.
Well, you're still trying to make up for lost time too on wages, where wage growth was flat.
Oh, for a decade, or at least
2007.
Really? It went backwards, and then it was flat for the better part of a decade. We were talking about 1% wage growth. The problem with 1% wage growth, when the inflation rate is 3%, you're going backwards. Yep. Now we're getting out ahead of the inflation rate. We're actually getting a few more dollars. Now, we're not talking about, nobody's getting rich at 3.4%, but we're definitely all doing better because of that.
All right, Sue, we're on joblessness and wages. We're kind of combining that reaction from your perspective.
I'm just glad to see it. Like I said, there's a lot of people out there that could use the money for whatever, and to just have a little extra makes a big impact economically and just personally.
All right. Well, we're going to continue our conversation as our show progresses here. We're going to be joined by Amber DePue. She's from UPMC. She's involved in corporate communication. She's going to talk about one of the chamber's major initiatives when it comes to making sure that young people have, what's the phrase you use?
Stickiness.
Oh, that's right. Stickiness. I forgot about that.
I didn't come up with that.
Okay.
The young professionals did.
It's a good one. All right. Well, yeah. We appreciate that. Well, she's calling in now, so that's going to work out. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Noray Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We want to elaborate a little bit on one of our good sponsors, the Sunbury Motor Company. My new Ford Ranger is down there. Actually, mine's not there, but yours might be, because they do have the blue XLT version with the double doors and two rows of seats and the 5-foot bed and the AC outlet back in the bed. And boy, it's got anti-collision avoidance electronics, and it's a nice blue color. And I just keep driving by very slowly. They're going to charge me with stalking here shortly.
Geez, they probably put a couple of my pillows in there too, right?
For me. Yeah, well, I need one to sit on. Yeah, that's right. But I'll tell you, tell you what, those are nice. But they got some nice Hyundais over there. You can go to 11 and 15, check out the Kias, the Lincoln cars and trucks. That new Navigator truck is just as sharp as can be. They got hybrid models available throughout all of those product lines. And they got Ben's perfect new Ford Taurus. He's ready for one of those pretty directly. And it's all-wheel drive, so he just keeps going no matter what the weather. And he's thinking about it. He loves that new car smell. It always impresses the clients when it shows that the company's thriving. So if you got a company vehicle, tell them to go to the Sunbury Motor Company update. It proves to your clients that you're in the black and makes it very clear that you're going to be in the long run.
I don't know. I'm seeing
helping out.
I'm seeing you in April in that Ford Mustang convertible in April.
That was just a test drive.
being that proper month for her name, you and her just going down in that nice spring day on 4th Street, making that turn out onto Front Street down by the river.
Yep, we're going to go get some ice cream somewhere probably, but not eat it in the car. All right, we'll take a quick break. Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com.
Attention Central PA truck buyers! SMC is where you want to be in March for the largest truck sale in their history. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to 15 grand. Sunbury Motors has new Ford F-150 4x4 crew cabs priced as low as $39,619. During Sunbury Motors' 71st annual new Ford truck sale, every new F-150 will come with a complimentary accessory package. This $800 accessory package includes a tonneau cover, wheel well liners, and all-weather floor mats. The much-anticipated all-new 2019 Ford Ranger is available in both Super Cab and Crew Cab and is now in stock at SMC.
And it doesn't end there.
Take $6,000 off new Ford Escapes, $7,000 off EcoSports, and up to a whopping $8,000 off Ford Explorers. With four city blocks of new Fords
and over a century of automotive experience,
SMC is where you want to be in March during this historic 71st annual new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Green grass and high tides? No, I'm not sure. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is filled up with our good callers on the line, including Joe. You're going to have to stand by. We have a scheduled call here, but do hold on, and we are going to talk joblessness. You might want to call back after the top of the hour because that's where we're going to really get a longer opportunity to talk to our good listeners about these jobless numbers. We got a bunch of emails and a bunch of calls, so we're talking joblessness. Bob Garrett's here from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. His chair is here. Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce chairperson Sue Green is with us. And on the line, Amber DePuse on the line. She's Director of Corporate Communications at UPMC Susquehanna. Thanks for calling in, Amber. Glad to hear from you.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to talk about young professionals.
Yeah, and Mark is pointing at me, Amber, so it's Bob Garrett. Good morning.
Okay. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Mark's giving me a hard time about this notion of stickiness when it comes to young professionals. And I said, hey, Mark, that's not actually my term. That came up by the young professionals. But I think most listeners have heard about brain drain and brain gain, you know, that we export our best and our brightest, et cetera. Can you explain for the listeners with the young professionals, what does this notion of stickiness, what is it that we're trying to accomplish with the young professional organization?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things that we focus on with the young professionals is really building a community. You know, we want the young professionals who are here in this community, whether they were born and raised here, went to college, came back, and now they're working here, or if they moved here to work at one of our larger, you know, employers in the area, we want them to feel as if they have everything they need within the valley to live a happy and fulfilled life. So, you know, whether that's making friends, whether it's making business connections, finding new employment in the valley, or, you know, if it's finding even significant others. We've had stories, you know, of people who have found success in that realm as well. So whatever it is that these young professionals are looking for and they need to really feel as if the Susquehanna Valley will be their forever home is what we seek to provide.
Thanks. I think that helps us to understand. My understanding is we're sort of turning the corner when it comes to brain drain, and we're actually starting to see some increase, actually, in younger folks, people between the ages, say, 22, 23, and 40 years old, not only coming here but staying here once they get here. Has that been your experience, or what are you seeing?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I've been involved with the organization now for about 4 years, And, you know, I think that we've definitely made some progress in keeping, you know, younger professionals who are new to the area here. You know, they're finding that they are able to get the skills and the education that they need to continue to grow in their careers across the valley, which I think is a testament to a lot of our larger employers, that they are able to invest in the continued education of, you know, our younger generation. But I also feel that, you know, from a cultural standpoint, we offer a lot of things that keep people here, whether it's the arts, music. We have a ton of great restaurants. You know, our downtowns are thriving. So, you know, I think that those are a lot of things, too, that makes the Susquehanna Valley really attractive to the millennial generation.
And as far as upcoming events and how do people engage with the young professionals, let's take them, I guess, one at a time. How does a person who qualifies as a young professional become part of the young professionals? And what kind of events are coming up? What kind of things are coming up that you can sort of whet their appetite that they might be able to participate in or come to or learn about?
Yeah, so, you know, we encourage anyone who's interested to learn more about us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GSVYP, which is the acronym for Greater Susquehanna Valley Young Professionals. We also have a website, which is gsvyp.org. And then every month we have a second Thursday social, which is really easy to remember. You know that it's the second Thursday every month. But we rotate our locations across the valley. So whether it be in Danville, Lewisburg, Sunbury, Sealands Grove, we make sure that we are going to the towns where we know our young professionals are living and working and that we're coming to them. So next Thursday, March 14th, from 5:30 to 7:30, we have our second Thursday social happening at Marzoni's in Sealands Grove. So it's a $5 cover at the door. Anyone is welcome to attend. And there's typically about 20 to 35 young professionals there just having a drink, enjoying some appetizers, and networking with one another. And again, there's no pressure for people to feel like this is straight business networking and you have to be there selling yourself and selling your career. But if you want to be there just to make friends and make connections, that's totally fine, and we encourage that.
10 years ago when the Chamber was on this show, we talked about Richard Florida and the creative class, this idea that there was a welcoming presence of a diverse range of people and cultures and activities in any particular part of the country where young people may want to stay. How are we doing? We talked about at the time that we had some growth areas when it comes to really having a vibrant region for folks to settle in. How are we doing today?
I would say that we're doing well. You know, I've seen in the past 4 years a difference in this community. I moved here about 6-7 years ago from Harrisburg, where I was part of the Harrisburg Young Professionals, which is obviously a larger group than what we have here in the Susquehanna Valley. But I think we're doing a lot of the same things that they're doing to keep people in the Harrisburg region. So, you know, I think we are only a stone's throw away from Harrisburg and some of the larger metropolitan cities in Pennsylvania. But, you know, I think the Susquehanna Valley can stand on its own right, and I think there's definitely a reason for millennials to come here and to stay.
What do the millennials look like? Describe what they're doing, what jobs they're in, where they're looking for work, and so on.
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes millennials get a bad rap. I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of generalization out there about who we are and what we do, but, you know, from my experience, I would say that, you know, we are out there just trying to make a living, trying to feel fulfilled in our lives and our careers. You know, a lot of us have, you know, degrees, higher education. We want to climb that corporate ladder, but we also want to have a family and settle down. So it's that fine balance of all of that. And I certainly think that the Susquehanna Valley is a great place to be able to do everything and to, you know, for lack of better terms, have it all.
One of our listeners texts a question for you saying, what about young people trying to do startups? Some towns have, I'm sorry, I can't read the text here. Angel money for young people who are interested in starting up businesses. Is there sort of angel money around here? Do young people have a difficult time getting businesses started?
You know, Bob could probably answer this better, but
yeah, Bob,
you know, from my
angel investors.
Perspective, you know, we have groups like the Small Business Development Center out of Bucknell. I know a lot of our young professionals have been tied into them. We do have a lot of young professionals who have started their own businesses and are very successful. So I think, you know, definitely if you're motivated and interested in doing so, there are resources here to help you.
I guess there are big angels and little angels. One of the things we talk about in different seminars that we do, et cetera, at the chamber, are venture capitalists. If that's something that's interesting to you, there's several well-established venture capital firms in the greater Susquehanna Valley that we can certainly connect folks to. The other thing is the and they're sort of fun too. There's several of these competitions now in the valley. These BizPitch type competitions. I think Amber mentioned the one that the SBDC does. I've been involved the last 3 years in the one that Sunbury Revitalization does. So there's a lot of funding out there that's traditional and non-traditional.
All right, Amber, best way to contact you to get a hold of the young professionals?
Sure. The best way to find us is on Facebook, and it's facebook.com/GSVYP. Or at our website at www.gsbyp.org.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much, Amber. Thanks for checking
in.
Thanks
for having me.
Appreciate that, Amber DePue. Gainfully employed as a millennial up at UPMC Susquehanna. She's in charge of their corporate communications. That's a big job up there, so we appreciate her check-in. We're going to wrap up our chamber discussion at 9:06 after the CBS News. And then Ben and I are going to argue politics, and we got some emails to help get us started. You're listening to WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is wide open. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, as two individuals have done as it relates to our jobless discussion, and you can text us at 70236. That's the Text Connect system. We use it to reach out to individuals when we have breaking national or local news, tornadic weather, closed roads around here, dead celebrities, you name it. That's what we use the Text Connect system for, and you can sign up at WKOK.com. We send you a short message and a link, and that connects you to a short story about that. All right, we got a lot of ground to cover in a short amount of time with the Chamber representatives here, Bob Garrett and Sue Green, still here. Ben Reichle is our co-host today. Local jobless numbers.
Mark, I'm still trying to diagram that sentence that you just spoke.
Which one?
Text Connect. It's traffic in Northumberland and dead celebrities.
Closed.
There's no connection, right?
Closed road, yeah. Celebrities
no
who died. Yeah, Luke Perry died in Northumbland. Sad story. On Route 11.
There's a lot of traffic. Yeah. Go around.
But anyway.
Yeah. So back to the economic numbers. So we're pretty certain. I think the world is pretty certain. That there's an anomaly with the 20,000. What's interesting about the numbers for us, participation rate up, unemployment rate down, and the wage rates up. So all in all, you know, two-handed economist here, not a bad report. I suspect there's going to be an adjustment to that 20,000 number. And, you know, Ben and I sort of caught each other's eyes at the top of the hour when they pointed out that this will keep the Federal Reserve hunkered down, which is not a bad thing from our perspective.
All right.
And also, too, if you look at the world economy, you know, China's going back to 6% growth. That's going to be the lowest in decades for them. You got India not getting what they feel they would get growth. You see Russia, who can't feed themselves, and they're basically a gas tank. You know, the world pull up and, you know, fill up your energy needs. So the U.S. economy is driving the world economy, even though China wants to take over the world economically. So we're seeing the strongest economy, and you see that with the U.S. dollar overseas, and the Fed has to understand that. The Fed got out of control last year at this time.
Yeah, I think so,
and
too.
It was
got a little
fair.
Advocacy,
yes,
there.
It was fair that the president said that. Whoever would have been president said that. And look what's happened with the Fed. So there's far more positives, but there are always going to be some non-positives.
All right, we have some emails. I'd like to ask Mr. Garrett about the thousands of jobs and economic growth that the new thruway was going to create. I've kept over 15 articles over the last 10 years from our local state lawmakers promising this. Can you give us a current and anticipated examples? What $20 an hour jobs are on the horizon? What industry is relocating here? Is the strip financially vibrant? And where can job seekers get their shovels for shovel-ready jobs? Says Duffy. Okay, so let's see. Let's start at the beginning. Local economic
okay, let's
benefit.
Start, let me unpack that
jobs.
A little bit.
Sure.
First off, on the thruway, we've been projecting that the thruway would create between 1,200 and 1,500 either direct construction jobs or related auxiliary jobs. Two of the sections of the thruway, the big bridge and the northern section, are under construction. Those two together in direct jobs, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 400 jobs there. Those are all excellent jobs. As far as auxiliary jobs, I can tell you that I see a lot of activity on the strip. I see those Trumbull vehicles and mm-hmm. New Enterprise vehicles and ADP vehicles, all those vehicles all over. You know, I stay in the local hotels from time to time, and I know that they're getting a lot of business there. I know the restaurants are getting a lot of business there. Heck, I even know that when I go to the Schmokin Dam Health Center, the guy sitting beside me who's getting his back adjusted is from the construction project up on the bridge. So that spinoff is happening. Where do you go to get those shovel-ready jobs? The best way to do that is to make sure you have the skills that match up that the jobs that currently exist. Let me tell you, there are a lot of unfilled positions with these construction companies. Keep in mind that all of these jobs are what are they called, wage jobs or union jobs. So check in at the union hall, at the particularly the welders, the constructors, the joiners, all those kind of folks. They will take you right into their training program, and not only will you have a job, you'll have an excellent career in a fabulous industry. As far as the $20 an hour jobs, I don't know what each individual job pays, quite honestly, but I can tell you that we're working with several companies that are looking to come into the area, as well as all the companies that are currently here. I suspect they're paying something in that neighborhood. Just earlier this week, we met with the folks that are bringing a modular steel structure plant, the old Penn Lion plant. We'll be setting up tours for their. They have an existing facility in the area that we'll be touring to learn how their new facility will be equipped. We're working with several other companies that are bringing or expanding, either bringing a industry here or expanding industry that's already here. So there's help wanted signs everywhere. Probably the number one place to look, what do you call it, one-stop shop, is the CareerLink. So I would encourage you to do that. Start at the CareerLink and on the construction jobs, take a look at either the vocational schools or thinking about going into a vocational program that one of the unions offers.
Well, and the chamber might be a good place to go to. Hit CareerLink and let the chamber know that
right.
You're an eager beaver out there.
And we're cross-linked.
And let Sue Green know. You can email her at Sue Green with an E, she says. Sue, G-R-E-E-N-E, at psu.edu. Executive programs is her specialty, so that can help. Another email says, yes, baby boomers are retiring, but many, myself included, now work in many part-time jobs around the area. Look around. Seniors, the terms that Giant uses to describe me, older employees, and they love us. Imagine that. So how does that play into the jobless numbers? The fact that you had individuals that are retired, but now they're back in the workforce part-time.
So participation rate is the measure of individuals who are capable of working between the ages of 17 and 64. So I don't know this individual who sent us the note personally, but I suspect this is she's re-entered the labor force after retirement, so she would count into the that labor force data. That's what we're starting to see. We're seeing folks that were either on the sideline early retirement, or were on the sideline because they just didn't feel like they had the right skills for the jobs that exist. What we're seeing happen is they're coming back into the labor force, and now consistently over the last 4 months, more every month over the month before.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Questions for Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce and Chair of the Chamber, Sue Green. Mike, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, I got two things about some low numbers today. I was wondering why you guys are poo-pooing the low number, job creation number. I checked with three conservative outlets, Breitbart, Fox News, and the Wall Street Journal, and they're all reporting that as the number. That's my first question. Second question, the other low number, Manafort got 4 years in jail for all the crimes he was convicted of, when the sentencing guidelines were for 19 to 24 years from a conservative judge who outwardly spoke against the Mueller investigation. So any chance that you find folks discussing those two numbers a little further?
All right, well, we
That's
won't.
All, I got.
All right, I'm not going to ask the chamber about the Manafort numbers, but not all the reaction is positive to just that 20,000 figure.
Right. And I think this is basic mathematics that we're dealing with here is anytime you see that kind of a wild swing, you start to scratch your head and say, okay, something's up. I mean, I think, Ben, you were tongue in cheek when you said that the folks that count the numbers were temporarily laid off or something. But you know, when you see last month 330,000, this month 20,000, that's less than 10% of the previous number. Something happened in the data. Something's wrong with the statistics.
We
don't have that kind of wild swings.
The information's not backing it up.
Right.
Unemployment's not at 6%. Participation rate didn't fall. So, you know, the caller can, you know, and always look at the equation of numbers before you get this. So, you know, we'll see. And, again, look at the adjustment rate. Look what the adjustments were for January. Look at adjustments for December. Like I said, April, we'll sit here and look at what the adjustments were for February's numbers. So we'll see what happens. But the other numbers don't add into this being a problem right now. Now, next month and the following month or 2020, then there's something
uh-oh.
Going on.
Yeah,
it doesn't show that on the horizon.
Well, and I think, Ben, you say it best when you say it's a snapshot. It's a snapshot of a single day and a single month. It happened to be 2 weeks ago, by the way. But it's a snapshot of that day, and there's something happened that day that the snapshot got blurry.
And we'll see the political outlets portray it the way that they feel they're portrayed. I'm sure on CNN and MSNBC, this is the leading number. On Fox and some other business aspects, it'd be interesting to see how CNBC's reporting on it. But on Fox News and on Fox Business and on Bloomberg, it'd be interesting to see what they're leading with because, like I said, participation rate. But the other number that should be talked about, and I think Bob hit on it, is that the wage growth at over 3%. So, again, you know, 20,000, look at the other numbers. There's more positives than non-positives.
Well, if you want to accentuate the negative, just look at the 20,000 and say it should have been bigger and they were predicting more and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So there's your negative headline. I'm sure that's the pessimist view.
Look at this year and divide by two.
Okay.
So we're doing okay.
All right. So CSVT news. What's cooking? You just came from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce Transportation Committee meeting.
Right. Transportation Committee met this morning. Matt Beck was there, gave us a quick update. On the northern section, real quickly, will be opened in 2022, 75% complete. Things are moving along nicely. On the southern section, the news wasn't as pleasant. I'll say it that way. The southern section, the environmental clearance is in place, so now they begin the right of way, they begin the final design, all those sort of things. Construction on the southern section will start in 2022, opening in 2027. The overall throughway price tag now is $865 million, so up significantly. I think speaking on behalf of the chamber and on behalf of the Transportation Committee, we really appreciate that PennDOT has kept the Valley so well informed every month coming in and giving us updates. Are we disappointed? Sure. We're disappointed that the time has slipped. We're disappointed that it's become a little more expensive. Are we surprised? Not really. We suspected there would be some slip when we knew that there was a problem with the ash dam, when we knew about when we heard about the problem with the pyritic rock on the southern section, we suspected there'd be some slippage. We'll get through this. PennDOT has assured us they're going to try to figure out ways to expedite. It'd be wonderful if we could trim a year off of that. We don't know if that'll happen. The other thing is, tip of the hat to our local legislators, particularly Fred Keller and Linda Culver, Gene Yall, John Gordner, for their leadership in getting the funding in place for the thruway. Because quite honestly, a few years ago, if you would have had a 10% overrun or 15% overrun announced like this, your project would have been dead. The project's not dead at all. The project's moving forward. It's just going to take a little bit longer than we had hoped. The big news, though, is the northern section is ahead of schedule now, is going to open in 2022. That will take care of most of the congestion issues that we're experiencing in downtown Lewisburg and downtown Northumberland. And the southern section will get her done as quickly as we can.
Oh, and throw in Congressman Marino, Senator Toomey, and former Congressman Bill Schuster. In some of the horse trading that went on way, way back when you know what goes
and
on.
And no thanks to Glenn Thompson. We still say that phrase, so that's another topic.
No, GT's, we need to get this built, and Bob, I hate to say it, 1991, I think we were looking at $420 million.
In 1968, it was going to cost $40 million.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should have finished it then. We lost opportunity. Oh, wow. What's coming up with the chamber? You got activities?
Yeah, a couple things coming up I wanted to tell you about. Of course, you heard from Amber already about what's coming up. That's this coming Thursday, our second Thursday social. This coming week on Wednesday, the 13th, we're partnering with Small Business Development Center on branding and rebranding your small business. Governmental Affairs next Friday. Mm-hmm. All of your listeners that love to engage in governmental affairs, that's the place to be. Every other Friday at noon, we'll be at up in Lewisburg. We're going to be dealing with some broadband issues just north of Lewisburg. Have the blood bank in next, then on the 19th. That's a Tuesday. The American Red Cross blood bank at the chamber.
You mean the Bloodmobile?
Bloodmobile. Yep, Bloodmobile. And then on March 27th, meeting our region's healthcare needs. Over at the Geisinger, we'll be inviting folks out to help with the community health needs assessment that they do each year. And let us know what our health care needs are. Big event coming up is the Food and Wine Fest. It's our inaugural. We'll be at the Iron Front in downtown Lewisburg. That's just about sold out. Don't wait too much longer. Sponsored by the Geisinger, Practical Business Solutions, Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau, Gilson Boards, UPS Store, Penn Teledata, Cricket Wireless, and all hosted at the Iron Front on the afternoon and evening of April 6th, our inaugural Food and Wine Fest. It will be the place to be.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I think that takes care of it. GSVCC.org. For more information, you can check out the Young Professionals there. They're meeting next Thursday at Marzoni starting at 5:30 p.m., $5 cover charge. I found out the answer that I was looking for, between 20 and 40. So I am out of the age bracket, so I can't go to the Young Professionals.
60 is the new 39.
Right. So
you're
I can still go.
Let's let the young folks have their time together. They don't need a bunch of old folks coming in.
Monitoring them.
Come on.
And you don't need me going in there to tell them they're wrong, okay?
If you're saying you want to be the sponsor, they'll be happy to see
you. Money talks at any age, right?
New sponsor, Ben Reichle. Sue, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being chair of the chamber. We see you out in the community monitoring things and making sure the chamber is moving along. Bob, thank you very much. We'll see you in a month.
Always a pleasure.
If not soon. Ben, stand by. Do not stand up or go away. I need you. We are going to go into open phones and talk about all things political. Say our emailers, although we have one Northumberland email. We'll be talking about that shortly on WDKOK.
Hometown pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer. every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got one caller standing by. We'll take more comers, 1-800-795-9565. Reaction to the jobless rate. The jobless rate went down. Only 20,000 jobs created, so that's the bad news. The participation rate up to 63%, so that's up another tick. Looks like maybe bouncing along the bottom is going to stop. We'll have to see. We also had news from Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. The northern section of the CSVT, that's where you see all that construction happening now in the Montandon area and in Winfield. That whole section will be open in 2022. The bridge looks like it's coming along, so that's interesting, though, that to think that there's years more work there. And then the southern section, all right, so this is in the news. The southern section won't be done until 2027. That's considered a three-year delay. $865 million, about a million of which is because they had to go around some ash basins in the Shamokin Dam and Monroe Township area. So $100 million change on that. But the good news, I guess you could say for us in the local area, is that our PennDOT tax increase dollars on the gas tax will pay for that. You'll remember years ago they took off the wholesale tax cap that was placed there, and that allowed more revenue, well, allowed the gas companies to raise the tax, and then, of course, allowed the revenue to go to Harrisburg, and you see the rest. So that's in the news.
State police.
Right, yeah, oh, yeah, that's another tragedy. Okay, well, we'll talk about that later,
disappointing,
too.
Disappointing the delay, but hopefully get the northern section.
Well, at least we're getting her done.
Lewisburg and Northumberland can get some reprieve.
All right, we got one call coming in and another one waiting. Some brief news headlines. Some help is on the way in Northumberland since the restart of work on the Duke Street project. Traffic's been backed up for hours at a time on Route 11 southbound. PennDOT's Mindy Forsman tells us that they are reevaluating the traffic signal timing at King and Orange Streets as well as the other lights. They are not synced, so the three lights act randomly. Not interacting with each other. And, of course, that helps trap thousands of cars in Northumberland for hours each day. She also says Prince and Hanover Streets are now open at Front Street and says another message board's been added at Ridge Road, and they're working to synchronize the two new traffic signals in Northumberland. Discussion about preventing teen suicide was a big topic in the Valley after four teen suicides in the past 5 months. Joining WKOK Sunrise to provide tips was Geisinger pediatric psychologist Dr. Nicole Quinlan on how parents can try to prevent a teen suicide. She says parents need to look for significant changes in their teen's personality and behavior, including
talking about suicide, mentioning thoughts about death, comments that make it sound like they're saying goodbye or maybe won't be around very much longer. That should be taken seriously.
And you can hear her entire interview on the WKOK podcast page. Yesterday, Governor Tom Wolf was in Bloomsburg saying if and only if a severance tax on natural gas is approved by the state legislature, flooding issues will be addressed in Bloomsburg and other parts of Columbia County. A tour with the local Republican lawmakers included stops at places where the flood wall still has gaps in it. The flood protection system still has gaps in it in Columbia County. Governor Wolf said if you approve his Restore Pennsylvania plan, $4.5 billion will go into the economy. Well, we told you
very,
when this...
Very questionable.
Well, I know
very
the whole thing's a sham. But anyway, we'll get into that later. And finally, a federal judge Thursday tossed out porn actress Stormy Daniels' lawsuit against President Donald Trump that sought to tear up a hush money settlement about their alleged affair. U.S. District Court Judge James S. Otero in Los Angeles said the suit was irrelevant after Trump and his former personal lawyer agreed not to penalize Daniels for violating a non-disclosure agreement she signed in exchange for $130,000 payment. Attorney Michael Cohen admitted in federal court he arranged the payment to silence Daniels and to help Trump win the presidency. The lawsuit now thought to be moot since they were trying to get out of it. All right. We told you when the lawsuit was filed. Now we tell you when the lawsuit's toast.
I think the other news that you see was the teacher in Salt Lake City having the young man who went to Ash Wednesday services. So 9-year-old goes to the Ash Wednesday services.
He's Catholic.
He's Catholic and comes back and... The teacher had him wipe the cross off his forehead.
All right, we're going to talk about that. That's in the news. We got three callers and two emails. We talked about jobs and the economy. Bobby, what's your thoughts on jobs and the economy?
I have a question as far as the faction figures and what they're, you know, what they're based on. Are they? Is it full time, part time, seasonal, or a combination of all of them?
Not part time, but yes, full time. And
yeah,
seasonal.
Combination to seasonal and full-time. And then participation rate is folks coming back into the workforce.
But individuals who expect to be laid off in cold weather, they do go on to the unemployment rolls. So they sort of adjust it so it doesn't have this big spike in it, but they do add that in. You're considered unemployed during that time and probably draw on unemployment in some cases.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby. Appreciate the question. Dale, we're talking about the U.S. economy and jobs. What say you?
Yeah, I always hear economists, but they never give you the whole general concept of the economy.
Dale, say that again. Your phone got muffled there right when you said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I say that I was taught with the economy. I never hear economists talk about the economy in general because I always thought that the market always moved with the interest rates. Well, the interest rates ain't budged in 5 years, and our two biggest engines for our economy is media and service. So are we loading ships and trains up with media and service to sell it to other nations? So I just wanted to say that.
All right. Yeah, good question.
Yeah, well, hyperinflation right now is where everybody's getting raises, okay, and they're printing more $100 bills right now than they are $1 bills. Okay, so I just wanted to ask, you know, some genius economist who's being educated, if that adds up. I mean, is China and Russia and all buying our media and our services? Because I don't think so. So I just want, it's scary where our markets are going high and our interest rate date. So it's just a scary situation, I think.
All right, we got you, Dale. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for the call. 1-800-795-9565. We have talked about the economy, but we also have talked about Northumberland traffic. That's been in the news. We talked to one of our listeners, sent us a very, very long email. We'll be more than happy to read some or all of that on the air. But we have a caller standing by, probably waiting in traffic in Northumberland. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. No, not this morning, but most recently. First of all, anyone driving over there, my first recommendation is everyone just calm down and take it easy. I know that some people are flying up the side streets and so forth, but my biggest gripe, and I've called about this before, and I got caught in this again, is the people who are refusing to stay on Route 11 and come into town on the main drag and are cutting over behind the businesses on the right to come in to the side street right there at Northumberland.
All right.
Now, there are some people who live in that section, I agree, and they have to get out there. But the line of traffic, I've seen people behind me, way behind me, cut across there, and then I see them way ahead of me get in. What we have to do is as drivers, be courteous, but at the same time enforce our own rules. And the rules are, if people are trying to jump line, do not let them in.
All right.
Just keep on going. Let the zipper take effect there, because all you're doing is creating a log jam.
Right.
Sooner or later, people realize to stay on Route 11 and stay in line like everybody else.
Well, Eric, that is called the Cheater Road.
That's right.
And that is the old Danville Highway. And folks have been doing that in greater numbers lately. And we've spoken to some of those motorists. And you know what they say? Well, why on earth would I stay on Route 11? It doesn't make any sense when I can get through faster here and jump the line. I'm not being discourteous. I'm just taking care of number one.
Now, what I would say is to my fellow drivers on that, do not let them in. Just keep on. There is no, correct me if I'm wrong, there is no Pennsylvania law which says you have to let someone coming in from a side street if they're at a stop sign. I would say people who are driving that routinely, do not let them in. And sooner or later, they'll be sitting in traffic long enough over there that they will quit doing that. Or can the Northumberland Borough somehow do something to, and I don't know what it would be,
well, it's
to carved down that. And I realize people live on that street, and yes, they do have to get onto Route 11. I understand that.
A few people.
A very, very few people. Well, again, I would say everyone keep calm, but still, let's use some wise sense of us who are obeying the rules and trying to, you know, myself carrying my elderly parents back and forth to Geisinger, where we have to go up on that road, you know, don't let them in. That's my suggestion. In a calm, peaceful, and Christian manner. Thank you.
It's difficult to do. All right, thank you. Yeah, we did address it with Northumberland and the township and PennDOT. This, you know, these individuals doing the cheating where they go, there's old Danville highways parallel to Route 11, and when traffic's backed up for miles on Route 11, folks take the cheater road around, and they do so with a good smile on their face saying, oh my gosh, I found this good local road, I'm jumping the line, I'm getting ahead of the game.
Well, what about the GPS and the Waze systems and many of the systems?
Oh, they may jump you over there too.
Over there,
sure.
To get around traffic.
Right, yeah. That's not what these folks are doing, but in any event, the township says there's very little they can do about it. It's an open road, and it's people have an opportunity to drive there. I think if it became an even greater problem, they might consider some remedial efforts to prevent the line jumping. And the road starts in the township and ends in Northumberland, so that kind of complicates it a slight amount, this idea of blocking it off. If it were up to me, I'd put a PennDOT truck up there and just block it all together and says everybody has to wait in the same line to get in. A lot of folks are going out to Ridge Road to get around, and that is a legal, non-cheating way. You can cut down a 40-minute drive to just 17 minutes yesterday, and I just timed it yesterday. So that's advisable to folks. Yes, the folks are suffering on Ridge Road. They don't want that extra car traffic, but unfortunately, everybody's contributing to this Northumberland discussion. We do have an email related to this. We'll read that when we come back. And we got a political letter, so we can talk politics, economy. Northumberland are our good topics. Ben Reichley's our co-host. Rob Center, fabulous producer. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom, clackety-clacking away about the southern section. He just put something online at WKOK.com about the southern section of the CSVT, three-year delay, 600, what did I say? Oh, 800, 65 million. So that's a lot of moolah. We'll be right back.
Attention, Central PA truck buyers. SMC is where you want to be in March for the largest truck sale in their history. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to 15 grand. Sunbury Motors has new Ford F-150 4x4 crew cabs priced as low as $39,619. During Sunbury Motors' 71st annual new Ford truck sale, every new F-150 will come with a complimentary accessory package. This $800 accessory package includes a tonneau cover, wheel well liners, and all-weather floor mats. The much-anticipated all-new 2019 Ford Ranger is available in both Super Cab and Crew Cab and is now in stock at SMC.
And it doesn't end there.
Take $6,000 off new Ford Escapes, $7,000 off Echo Sports, and up to a whopping $8,000 off Ford Explorers. With four city blocks of new Fords
and over a century of automotive experience,
SMC is where you want to be in March during this historic 71st annual new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, we encourage, invite, implore you to use the 1-800 number. It's 1-800-795-9565. We've got four open lines right now and three emails pending. You can call us at 1-800-795-9565. That is not just random digits. It's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. Sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy out on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, just very, very centrally located out there. I would say, what is that, Monroe Township all the way out there, or is that Penn Township? Do you think Mount Pleasant Mills?
Oh.
Think about that.
Penn Township.
Trutz Pharmacies on Walnut Street in Mifflinburg. Norrie Pharmacy is on Duke Street in the borough of Northumberland. And incidentally, they are incorporated in the detour, but you're easily accessible. Plenty of PennDOT signage to send you down to the Norrie Pharmacy, and they would just love for you to visit them. Jennifer's at the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. She's the head pharmacist on Market Street in Bloomsburg. And the Lewisburg Pharmacy is on 2nd Street in Lewisburg. Go see Brad and the rest of the crew there. They just love to super serve you, as they do at Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Norrie Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, and Shade Mountain Pharmacy. Super Service is their middle name.
We'll get a township clarification, but it's definitely not Penn Township.
Oh, not Penn Township. Oh, yeah,
but
it's not in the right spot.
The only town in Pennsylvania you've mentioned at the Bloomsburg Pharmacy.
So. Oh, okay. The Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. Mm-hmm. All righty. So, this is the last contact, I think, that we have on the Nori. Yep, this is on the Nori situation. It says, I really wish someone in authority would look at the situation in Northumberland concerning the movement of traffic. My husband thinks it is the traffic lights that may not be synchronized correctly to keep the flow moving. I don't know exactly what the problem is, but we sat in traffic from 2:15 p.m. yesterday and didn't finally get past the last traffic light at King and Water Streets until 3:50 p.m. And this is traffic stoppage that started at the American Legion out on Route 11. I realize after finally getting out on Front Street, the paving is going on, but let only two cars through at a time with about 5 minutes between is just not right. My thoughts are, why do they not do this work at night? Sure, they need big trucks and skid steers in order to fill those open gaps in the street, but again, the traffic wouldn't be so heavy during the night. I'm glad I was not on my way to work or in an emergency of some sort, just returning from a medical appointment. Hopefully, this paving will be completed very soon, but the traffic coming from Danville is set very poorly. Flaggers certainly do a much better job than depending on those traffic lights. Well, this might get addressed. This squeaky wheel is happening.
Is this too much going on in too short of a place with too much technology and non-technology? But to get into Nori, mm-hmm. I would agree with you. I would take Ridge Road.
Take Ridge around.
And come back down through. But holy smokes, an hour and 35 minutes mm-hmm. to go. What, 6 miles?
Well, that wouldn't even be 6 miles. Maybe two.
Okay.
Probably more than one, but less than two.
Something's fundamentally wrong.
Right. Well, it's the traffic lights. Before the lights were activated, traffic was going through. But the dilemma is that Duke Street's blocked, and you have to send the northbound Route 147 up Orange Street. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the dilemma. But the key is that the traffic signals can't control the traffic adequately. Orange Street has one or two cars on it. Now, if it does stack up, I agree that, you know, the lights are going to be helping with relief. The lights should be operated manually. And I think Mindy Forsman and the rest of her colleagues are addressing this. They're working on it. Linda Schlegel-Culver got involved, and they are working on it. But it needs even more attention. It needs PennDOT to say, well, that traffic flow is a big issue. A lot of times, PennDOT's not that worried about traffic flow, and this is one of those cases. Now, they have taken some cursory steps to help already, and they're looking at it. But I think they're just going to have to hire one of those good traffic control companies during peak travel periods to keep people flowing.
But also, you have to look at emergency assistance, fire trucks, and ambulances. So, I understand sometimes you have to put a plan out there and then adjust the plan. Now, you got the railroad bridge. Of course, you got the bypass, you know, the macro issue being the bypass. You got the railroad bridge and Duke Street. Unfortunately, folks, the stuff on Duke Street was supposed to be done 10, 15 years ago, wasn't done. And basically that road was getting ready to collapse with the sewage and the stormwater. And I mean, it was getting to the point where, it was in overly need of repair. So when these all come together at the same time, here's what you have. You know, unfortunately, if the bypass was finished, we wouldn't have this as bad.
Wouldn't have quite the volume.
If the train
rail
was working,
passenger rail.
No. If the underpass.
Are you advocating for the new Green Deal?
No, what I'm advocating for is the Jetsons, and we need to get vehicles like the Jetsons have and just fly around, and we won't need this. But to the point that, it's unfortunate. Everything's come together, and the businesses over in Nori have suffered. I try to get over to the Front Street Station a couple times, and I see Jay Jr. now there, and, it's frustrating. But there's other businesses over there, too. But, boy, an hour and 35 minutes. I think I would. I might go around.
Well, the traffic lights.
Danville, come over to Riverside and come down the other side. But it's tough.
You first get stopped at the Orange Street light, but the trouble is the Water Street light and the King Street light aren't letting enough cars go through, so you don't go. You can't get anywhere from Orange Street.
Well, they're set up for a different cycle. And again, I would agree with you, what you've talked about earlier, is that maybe you have the traffic control groups come out in the mornings and the afternoons, and you control the traffic a different way than during, let's say, the 9 to 2:30.
Well, I agree. I think, and the proof that you really need some human technology there in the morning is you have traffic signals weren't operating and everything was flowing fine, and then you activate the traffic lights and you get a mile-long backup. Okay. Well, okay, I think it's your traffic signal.
Yeah.
You know?
So
they're going to work on that. They are addressing it. We did had a good conversation with Mindy Forsman yesterday. You know, more diligent and giving attention to this, she could not do. So this is her situation to deal with right now. All right, 1-800-795-9565. One of our listeners is very concerned about the Democrats falling apart, so we're going to read that email. And we have a story from the Associated Press about a teacher who smudges off or makes a student take off his Ash Wednesday cross when he goes back to school after Mass. So we'll talk about that shortly here on WDKOK. We got open phones. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565.
Up your new car game in March with a new Kia for just $99 a month from Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you.
Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LX for just $99 a month for only 24 months. Drive away in a 2019 Kia Soul for only $149 a month. With deals like this, you'll have to hurry in to get in under the buzzer. Sunbury Motors Kia also has up to $10,000 off MSRP on a 2018 Kia Cadenza and $8,000 off a 2019 Sorento LX V6 with convenience package. Everyone's a winner with Kia because all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Up your new car game in March with Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases are for 24 months, 10,000 miles per year, $3,500 total due inside, or equivalent rate. No security deposit required. Tax and tags extra. Discounts include all applicable rebates. Offers expire 3/31/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565. One of our good listeners is apparently very concerned about the Democrats' fractured party falling apart and Nancy Pelosi being unable to rein them in.
We got to talk about the bumper music. A little Alice Cooper earlier. I think a little Deep Purple, My Woman from Tokyo, I believe, Rob. That's making some rock and rollers from the past tune in.
He did a nice job earlier this week. Played some Emerson, Lake & Palmer.
Ooh,
and then
Lucky Man?
I guess that's... Oh, no, it was Fanfare for the Common Man.
Wow, okay.
I'm impressed that Ben knew that was My Woman from Tokyo. Nice job.
He grew up in the 60s.
I was young, but I was growing. Yeah.
All right, one of our listeners sends a note, says, the Democrats, with all their anti-this, anti-that, phobia, isms, and so on, have themselves in a pickle. With the new diversity elected in Washington, D.C., they are being forced to own up to their rhetoric. Seems to have thrown a wrench in their gears. Clearly, Pelosi does not seem in charge anymore, says one of our listeners.
No. I spent 3 days in Washington last month, and we'll be down again in May. But, it's, it's the changing of the times. I think it's good to have parties maybe evolve, emerge, be proactive instead of reactive. I can't agree with some of the younger congressional ladies' views on certain things, but as far as, they seem to have passion in that, but also, as we see now, that maybe some hypocrisy sneaking in when money gets involved. Money
seems
moves.
To be a human condition, yeah. Not necessarily
money,
owned by
no,
Democrats.
No, it's, it happens on all sides, but now we see maybe the sort of purest of the driven snow might not be as purest as we see. But as far as Leader Pelosi, she has her hands full. But also remember, John Boehner couldn't handle it with the Freedom Caucus, and Paul Ryan basically filled a chair for a couple years.
Been a little more assertive.
Yeah. So we see what's going on. I think it's very positive to have the differences in the political spectrum coming in. A president who wasn't political, some of these other folks that are coming in. Nothing personal against the lawyers and the government
the old
officials.
White guys.
Well, or the black or the brown. I mean, if you've been government all your life, or you've been a lawyer all your life, or you've been a government lawyer all your life, take a step back and let some doers, let some housewives, let's get some business owners in there of all shapes and all colors, and get stuff done.
Paul.
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. I know I'm a little old-fashioned, and I look back in time, but you never had this much congestion when the railroad stopped at Northumberland to pick on passengers on their trip to New York. So now what you are telling me is that because this new highway that is coming in, you're asking for more traffic, more business to occupy the roads that are now being occupied, because each individual wants the pleasure of having their own individuality to do things when they want to do it and not at the expense of others. So what you are looking at is the fact that the railroad left, but why did it leave? And why did it take its transportation with it? Because then it put the congestion back into the city and the towns with the people waiting in line.
All right. Good questions. We'll answer them on Monday. Thank you, Paul. Lance, you're on the mark.
Well, one thing with the railroad, the government regulated them right out of business. And it was mostly due to the fact that, this is really true. Eisenhower and Truman had a tremendous amount of, capital, I guess, in the trucks and things. That's why they pushed for that interstate highway system and all that.
Well, wasn't it Eisenhower's view of Germany, and they looked at the Autobahn and look how they could get people and commerce and produce, and the railroads couldn't keep up with the growth of America and the growth into the suburbs. And the individualism, and Henry Ford figured he could do it, and the Dodge brothers got on board, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, also, we can only hope that Ms. Cortez does for the Democratic Party what George McGovern did for it back in 72.
Well,
would that be wonderful? I know I voted for him.
I worked for George McGovern, or volunteered for George McGovern.
Really?
But, 1972, 71, and into the campaign. But well, she certainly she takes the oxygen out of the room for the other Democrats, especially Speaker Pelosi. So we'll see what happens. However, again, some of these things are catching up with her, and if people look at her, she didn't grow up. She grew up in a middle class, upper middle class family. They moved to Westchester County. If you look at her history, it just doesn't add up in this activist role type of deal. I grew up in the streets and had to make it type deal. But, her passion is there, and I think there's a bigger problem with the some of the other new congresswomen with the views they're thinking on, particularly the state of Israel, when they look at that. So I think there's bigger problems than AOC.
You know that her parents moved to Florida to get out of the taxes?
Yeah, supposedly. I think her mother did. So.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you, Lance. Thank you, sir. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week. Have a good weekend. I think, Mark, spring is going to be springy, but we got to turn the clocks forward. But let's get into some spring weather.
All right. Thank you so much for visiting. Thanks for volunteering. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. WKOK News time. It is 10 o'clock. It is time for the Dan Patrick Show.